quarter are going to be doing something just a little bit different than what you've typically done. On Sunday nights, my understanding is that whatever Dwayne talks about on Sunday night, that y'all will be breaking up into groups and discussing that in further detail. So Dwayne, being out of town, he gave me the first lesson, and it's on an entire series, Jesus, the Bride of Christ. So that's what we get to do tonight. So the title of tonight's lesson is Above All Others, and it's all about our relationship with each other in relation to Jesus, the Bride of Christ. You understand that? You got it? If you understand, say, got it. All right. It was fall quarter of my second senior year at Auburn University. And I'll be honest with you, my heart was as low could go. The girl that I had been dating for 5 years, well, we decided it was time to break up. She was in medical school at UAB. I was in architecture school at Auburn. She was really smart. I was really creative. Okay? I'll go with that, Mr. Don. I was really creative. But what do you do when you have your life all planned out and your plan doesn't work out? Well, I'll tell you what I did. I'll tell you what I had to do, and that is eat. Not unhealthy eating, but I just had to muster up the strength just to make myself eat. I was in the dumps. And I found myself at Country's Barbecue with a bunch of guys from the Christian Student Center. There are about 20 of us, and I'm in the middle of our group at the table. And I just remember sitting there staring at my plate of food, slowly twirling the barbecue around. And I'm listening to multiple conversations around me. But this was the last place I really wanted to be. My heart just wasn't into it. What I understand that I was suffering from was a dreaded disease that affects so many people. It's called the Plum Syndrome. You ever heard of this? It's a medical diagnosis. Bill, it's poor little old me, okay? And that's what I was suffering with. All right, so it's about halfway through the meal, and I find the strength to look up from my plate, and my head goes to one end of the table, and it's kind of going all the way to the other end. And do you know what my eyes saw? All the way at the other end, the most beautiful, gorgeous, blonde beauty queen my eyes had ever seen. And I could not keep my eyes off of her. And every now and then I'd just slap my face and say, Scott, stop. You're going to creep her out. But all of a sudden, I'm finally getting the strength to take a bite, and I'm eating again. I'm finally getting the strength to sit up straight and kind of realize, you know, reality hits that I am at a restaurant with a plate full of food, and I got the strength to start eating again. And before you know it, you want to know what happens? But before you know it, my left hand did something really crazy. And it was doing it all on its own. It raises up from its side, and every now and then our eyes would connect. And this infectious, goofy smile would just come all over my face. Okay. And I could not stop. But then my hand does this, and it goes, and I smile, and I wave. Okay. It just waves all on its own. I'm like, get damn. All right. So next thing I know, the wave doesn't freak her out nor creep her out. But matter of fact, what she does, Charlie, she cocks her head a little and she waves back at me. And I'm like, man, this is great. All right, so this went on through the meal. And I'm thinking to myself, I have got to meet this girl at the other end of our table. And I'm putting, you know, trying to figure it out. So it finally comes time to pay our bill. And way back then, you actually had to get up and walk to the front of the restaurant, and there is an actual person that took actual green money, and you would give it to them. They'd punch it out on the cash register, and they would hand you money back and actually count your change. But I'm thinking, I have got to meet this girl, and she's several people back, so I pretend like I dropped something. Couple of people go on ahead. Can y'all hear me? Oh, no wonder. I get so excited telling this story. Check, check.
One, two, check, check, one, two. Is that better? All right, good. All right, so here we are, Country's Barbecue, and I've got to meet the girl face to face. So here she is, finally. She's here. And I stand up. You know, I didn't have to suck my gut in back then because I didn't have one. I looked a lot better back then because I was working out. But I go and introduce myself, but my brain was so mesmerized by her beauty that the words were not coming right to my tongue. But that didn't bother her. You know what she says? Hi, I'm Whitney. It's so good to meet you.
You have no idea.
All right. You have no idea. Oh, man. I married that girl. Matter of fact, we just celebrated 20 years of marriage on July 11th. And you know what? She has blessed me with two incredible boys. And a life that I love coming home to every single day, no matter what. Why would I invite you in to my personal life and share my story of meeting the bride of my life? Why would I do that? I'll tell you. Because we, like you, we've experienced joys and heartaches together. We've also experienced love and hate together. Hear me on this. Not hate towards each other, but there are things that we absolutely hate together. Like Satan. We absolutely hate him. I despise what he does when he tries to attack our family. I was trying to think, what is the strongest word in the English language to describe my utter hatred for Satan? And it is abhor. I abhor Satan. That means you regard him with contempt or disgust. And I thought, yep, that pretty much sums up my feelings of Satan. But I'll tell you what else. We have also experienced hope and hopelessness together. So, Scott, what keeps you going? Let me ask you the same question. Church, what keeps you going? Scott, what holds you together in the midst of heartache, hate, and hopelessness? Well, church, what holds you together in the midst of heartache, hate, and hopelessness? How do you maintain your focus on what eternally matters in the midst of family crisis, in the midst of discouragement, in the midst of disappointment? If we do not get the answer to this question, hopelessness is knocking at your door. You want to know what the answer is? Jesus. Above all others. You see, Jesus has everything to do with how you should handle and how you do handle and how you should schedule and how you do schedule everything. So don't get distracted by Satan in the midst of disappointment and discouragement. Don't get deceived and manipulated by the schemer. That's what he does so well. Don't fall into his trap. You got to put in the work. You got to put in the late nights and the early mornings and the in-between times to focus. You got to put in the extra mile efforts. You got to be the one to stay connected to the vine and to the one who will help you overcome everything this world has to throw at you and attempt to take you and your family down. You. That's on you and me. If you understand, holler out, got it. Thank you, Jackson. Appreciate that. So, how do we do that? How do we even find the time to put in the hard work? Funny thing you ask. There are four words, and these are them. In the same way. Say those back to me. In the same way. One more time, because y'all are already falling asleep on me, but just wait. I'm coming at you hard in a second. All right, here we go. One more time. In the same way. Those are the four words. For a long time, we've missed these words. We've missed the meaning of these words because we put other things above these four words. Because it's in the context of these four words where joy and love and hope are found for you personally, for your family, and for your marriage. And if you're not married, it's okay. Do not check out in this lesson, because this lesson is not only geared toward the married folks, but I tell you, it's geared for every single one of us. If you are Christian or if you desire to be Christian, this lesson is for you. So do not check out. To me, it is one of the most important lessons that we could ever hear. Let's get back to these four words in the same way. Peter says this. Wives, matter of fact, wives, women, I want y'all to say this with me out loud. Y'all ready? Here we go. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands so that any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. What happened to our wives? Were they supposed to say it with us? That does not count. Does not count. We got to say it again because we got to get this. Kathy, you ready? Here we go. Here we go. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Now, husbands, pay attention, because he is about to roll down your street now. Husbands, men, guys, say this with me. And can y'all read this? Here we go. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner, as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Let's go back to the wives. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands. And husbands, I understand, guys, I understand that there is grave danger if we allow our chest to puff up when we read this and have this stinking thinking that, oh yeah, I'm in charge, right? Because if that's our thinking, we have already missed the four words. In the same way. Guys, hold on, because we're setting up the context. Wives, or husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner. Wives, I would imagine that some of you may be thinking, finally,
What has been needed to be said in our family has just been said. But I also want to put the warning out there to you too. Do not miss the four words, in the same way. And by the way, wives, moms, women, you are not weak. You are strong. In this verse, all it means, it simply means that your husbands could probably, and I emphasize probably, beat you in an arm wrestling match. That's all this means. There is no, you know, this guy that's up here and this woman that's way down here and the guy's always in charge and the woman is his slave. That is stinking thinking. Do not lose sight of those four words, in the same way. Here's the context. Because we didn't have to go digging very far. All you had to do to figure out those four words and what that phrase means, just look up a few verses. And here it is. When they hurled their insults at him, who is him here? It's Jesus. When they hurled their insults at Jesus did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Above all others, joy, love, and hope is all about Jesus. What is the whole context of those four words in the same way? It goes back to Jesus on the cross and what he was willing to do for every single one of us who was there then and who will ever come. How's your marriage? How's your family? How's your relationship with Jesus? You see, marriage and any devoted relationship with Jesus is hard, hard work. And you want to know what else it's like? It's like a pair of pruning shears. That's what it's like, right? Because this is the thing. When I talk about pruning shears, the purpose of this tool is to do what? It's to prune, mainly shrubs, but we're going to use it in the context of marriage, right? And this is the thing about pruning shears. In our lives, in our families, many times we're going in different directions, okay? We got different careers, right? And then when I think about being a parent, man, we got different responsibilities, tag teaming efforts to get the kids to different obligations that they have and different responsibilities and everything that goes along with being in a family. And you're going in different directions. What else is different? What else do you do that where you're doing different things? If you're in school, you know what you're doing? You're taking different classes, all right, than your brother or your sister. All of us from time to time need some alone time. You got guys' night out, you got girls' night out, right? What else? This is the thing about the pruning shears when it comes to marriage. Although you're going in all these different directions, the purpose of this tool is to punish anything that comes in between it. You following me? That's marriage. And this is the thing. What is the one thing holding this thing together? I do that. What is the one thing holding it together? Literally. Literally. That thing right there, what is that? It's a bolt. Beautiful. All right, so it's a bolt. So what would happen symbolically? You want to know what it is? It's Jesus. Right? You have any idea what happens to a marriage? You have any idea what happens to a family when we decide to take Jesus out of it? This thing ceases to function the way it was designed. This thing is no longer good for anything. You following me? If you are, say,
sir, yes, sir.
That's what I have to do with the teens to wake them up after 30 seconds, all right? What is the pivotal anchor that holds your marriage together? What is it? Submission. It is a wonderfully divine thing. Good definition of it is an active will to endure unjust treatment while trusting God. Say that to me again. It's an active will to endure unjust treatment while trusting God. Now I want to go back to these verses. Look at what we're supposed to be submissive to, but hopefully now we understand why. Wives, be submissive to your husbands. Husbands, be considerate as you live with your wives. Young men, be submissive to those who are older. Why? In the same way as Jesus was to us. You following me? We're going to go through some verses. Love for you to write these down and do some deeper study. But I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Head of every man is who? Christ. Head of the woman is man. But man, you better be pointing them to Jesus. Men, we better be acting like Jesus would act. Y'all remember F. Lagarde Smith, right? He's a law professor at Pepperdine. Now he's at Faulkner in Montgomery. Brilliant, brilliant scholar. Well, he wrote many books, but this particular one was called What Most Women Want, What Few Women Find. Now, the answer is male spiritual leadership. All right, but F. Lagarde got pretty upset with the book designer and the publisher here because he spent so much effort in trying to get the reader to be pointed straight to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And they put F. Lagarde Smith in this super large font. All right, so to him, it was reading what most women want, what few women find. F. Lagarde Smith. All right. And, oh, y'all need to get him to tell this story about the. He made me laugh and laugh and laugh with this big old ponytail in the back. But I tell you what, this is one book that just nails what 1 Peter and Ephesians 5 are getting at. It is all about Jesus. God placed all things under his feet. Under whose feet? Under the feet of Jesus. And appointed him, Jesus, to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. What do you think would happen if we stop looking at the church as something that we date, something that we just come and be a part of and enjoy a couple of times a week? And if we started looking at Jesus and his body that we are all in. Jesus, I want to be married to you. I'm ready to invest every bit of me to you. What would need to change in your life? What do you need to change to make your relationship like that? Do you want to know what you would get in return? Raise your hands if you want to know. Thank you, Carl. It's you and me, babe. All right, here we go.
All right? For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. How many times do we sit back and we say, man, I wish I had this. Man, I need this in our relationship. Man, if we could only do this. God's saying, you want fullness? You want everything that is wonderfully divine, holy, and pure? You be married to Jesus. And that's how you get it. Is that who Jesus is to you? Do you experience the fullness of God with a capital G in your marriage, in your life? Or is there something like the pruning shears bolt? Or is there something pivotal in your marriage, in your relationship with Him that is missing? Even above your boss at work, is Jesus the head above everything? Above your boss? Above your coach? Above your teacher? Above your kids? Even above their bedtime? Is Jesus head above everything? He emptied Himself and gave Himself up for us. So husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word, and to present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any blemish or holy, but holy and blameless. Y'all help me out with this next one. Finally, all of that, that means when I say help, y'all help me out with this. Let's just read it together. You ready, Jeff Jackson? You lead the charge here, all right? Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Your attitude, you know what it needs to be like? The same as that of Christ Jesus. How many of y'all growing up did your parents ever tell you, well, son, daughter, you need an attitude readjustment? Did that happen? Charlie, it's just you and me. Mom and dad told me that once or twice too, okay? I understand, all right? Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. You can read Philippians 2, 5 through 11. He made Himself nothing. He took on the nature of a servant. Guys, I know y'all are going to get all over this verse on Wednesday night. So what does that mean? What does that look like in our world when it comes to dishes? When it comes to a clean house? When it comes to how we treat each other? He humbled Himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And of all these verses that we've looked at, there are three things that Jesus is. He's our Creator. He's our Savior. And He's our Judge, all wrapped up in one. Right? You know what? We are right on time. What I want to do, I want to get y'all moving for a minute. I want to do an object lesson with you. And this is why. You may forget everything that we've just said. But I promise you, you will not forget this. All right? In each section, it's typically on the second or third rows. All right, there is going to be, or there is, a balloon and there is a Sharpie marker. If you are next to that, that means everybody has to look to see where it is. If that is right next to you, congratulations, you have just been volunteered, all right? You are going to be the volunteers. Once you see the balloon,
You hold it up. Oh, Don Bowens, you get the balloon? Oh, Don Jenner, you got the balloon. Is there a Sharpie with it? Look, somebody said, you got two balloons. All right, so you got one. Who's got it over here? Do you get the Sharpie with it? Do y'all have the Sharpie over here? Who's got the balloon over here? Oh, whoever is closest to it gets it. Oh, it's Billy. Congratulations. All right, that's you. You, congratulations. Who's got it over here? We got them up in the balcony, too. Hold them up tight. Hi, not tight. What about in this? There goes Barton. I can't believe I'm having to move in church. This is insane. All right, who has it over here? Oh, yeah, I see you. All right, who's got it in this side? Rod Johnson, you have got to get up and look for that thing. All right, that's it. You go get it. Go on, Rod. Rod. Go get it. There you go. Let's give it up for Rod Johnson. All right. He's got it. All right. So this is what I need our volunteers to do. I want you to stretch that balloon out. I need you to blow it up. Not necessarily to full capacity, but y'all will be writing on this balloon with that Sharpie. So if you need help, go ahead and ask for help. If this is going to give you a brain whatever, all right, just ask for help. But blow it up kind of big, because you're going to be writing a lot. Because this is what the rest of the people in your group are going to be doing. All right? You ready, Tyler? If you're the volunteer, y'all are actually going to blow it up and then you tie it. Y'all got to tie it. But y'all will actually have to get up. And Don, you've got a big section with a lot of wisdom. Ron can't blow it. You get some help from your... balloon. That's a bad balloon. I'll get you another balloon. Don't worry. All right. This is... Matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and put up this. All right. This is what y'all are going to be hollering out. Everybody in your section is going to holler out these answers. So you'll just get up and kind of walk back and forth. You got the Sharpie, all right, you see? All right, and everybody's just hollering out these answers to you, okay? What nouns, adjectives, verbs, adverbs, whatever words you can think of, represent Jesus? Oh, Billy Gaines. Well, teens, come over here. Yeah, Billy needs some help with the... That is the wimpiest looking balloon I have ever seen in my life. Here, Billy, hold on. All right. Here you go. You ready?
Oh, you got a bigger balloon than I have.
Yeah, I'm a real man. Here you go, Billy. I'm kidding. All right. I want y'all to take 30 seconds. Everybody have it tied? Everybody ready? Got your Sharpie marker off? Make sure you blow on that thing. I don't want it to get Sharpie marker all over your shirt. All right? And if you need your spouse or anybody to help write it for you, hey, it does not have to be beautiful writing. I promise you. Even if it's not even legible. God knows what y'all are hollering out, but I'm giving y'all 30 seconds. You understand what you're doing? All our volunteers, raise your hand. It's okay. All right. You got it over here, Aaliyah? All right, Aaliyah's ready. Y'all just going to walk. Everybody's just, this room is going to be filled with nothing but words that represent Jesus. Y'all write down as many as you can hear. You ready? 30 seconds on your mark. Get set, go. Who busted the balloon already? Good gracious. Did it bust when you wrote on it?
Some of these are terrible. Here. How many of y'all got? How many of y'all got? Y'all got it? 30 seconds? All right, I'm giving this team a few more seconds. 30 seconds. You got 12 more seconds. I'm giving you 12 more seconds. Y'all just stand, you holler it out loud. Holler it out loud. Holler it out. Hey, I don't see, just because you're in the balcony doesn't mean you can just sit there. You got to get up. You got to get moving. She's got it. All right. Rod, how many you got over there, buddy? All right. This volunteer, he's fired. Fired, fired, fired. It's all right. This is what I want y'all to do. Once y'all have it, I want y'all to bring them up. That means if you're in the balcony, go ahead and give it to a young buck unless you're ready to run on down here. I need everybody to bring them on down. We're going to put them in this bag. Okay, Layla, come on down. You can put them in this bag. There you go. All right. Yeah. Beautiful. Oh, yeah, look at all those. I love it. Put it in there. Oh, yeah, Billy Gaines. You did awesome. Don't pop it. Look. Go ahead and write on my forehead. All right. Hey, little baby balloon. Good job. All right, here we go, Dave. Layla didn't want to bring it down. She afraid? All right. How many? Justin Medley. Thanks, dude. Hey, I'm going to let you keep that Sharpie. All right? You go home, tell your mom that you got a gift at church. All right? So here we go. You're going to love this. Matter of fact, this is gain-free trash bags. All right? So it even has a little aroma. But this is what I'm going to do. And I'm just going to just barely tie it. We're going to take 30 seconds. You know, this is just filled with nothing but Jesus, right? Nothing but Jesus. Now, the goal of this game, we've got 30 seconds. And the goal now, volunteers are going to start it. You're going to pop this, but not pop. We do not want to pop any of them. But your goal is to just keep this thing afloat. And try and get it to as many sections, get as many people involved in this game as possible. And you have 30 seconds to do it. If y'all are extra good, you might even get it up to the balcony, but I don't know. Don't worry. I'm giving you 30 seconds, Mr. Ron. You are starting. You understand the name of the game? Raise your hand if you do. Beautiful. All right. Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. Beautiful. You got to keep it up. Terry. Terry, my goodness, the name of the game, this is where you probably have to actually stand up and get going, all right? Get going, get it up, oh, beautiful, nice, they're getting the feel, here we go, somebody is going to have to move, right, Whitney? Somebody is going to have to actually get out of your seat, Oh, hey, y'all are going to love this. All right, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, leave it up to the teens to break the bag. All right, hey, Jackson, if you will, bring the bag. Go ahead and put these other balloons in it. We need all Jesus that we can. Come on, this is still going to work beautifully. Thank you, Kaylin Tomlinson. Come on up here. How many of y'all on a scale of 1 to 10 would say that was pretty easy, huh? Is that pretty easy? Scale of 1 to 10, what do you say, Bob? Did you get your hand on? That's no problem. Okay? No problem. This is all Jesus. Nothing but light air. What do you do when you add a little Satan to it? Okay? Feel this. Huh? How much do you think that weighs? You think 8 pounds? 1.7 pounds. 1.7 pounds.
Right, this represents Satan right here. I don't have to ask y'all what represents Satan, do I? Because we all know. What happens when you try and put Satan, allow Satan to infiltrate our family? It's just 1.7 pounds. 1.7 pounds of Satan.
Feels like eight.
Feels like eight. That's right.
It's actually 9.2 pounds, all right?
Here we go. Name of the game is the same, but listen. I couldn't even get y'all to move on Jesus. What do you think is going to happen with Satan when he gets in? I'm just going to sit here, Satan. Go ahead, take it. All right? Name of the game is the same. You got 30 seconds. But look, no throwing. You got to keep it up in the air. All right? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. All right, come on. Come on. This is Nathan Whitaker, one of our Bible scholars. Do you see Satan? Oh, get it off of me. Come on, William. Oh, there we go. It's Satan's knocking people out left and right. All right, here we go. All right. Remember, the name of the game is... Oh! Oh! Hey, Satan's already gotten them. He's making y'all cheat now, remember? Hey, name of the game. That's right. That's what Satan does. All right, go ahead and bring the bag up. Hey, Kyle, you got it? Or Ethan? Go ahead and bring the bag up here. Is it wet? Beautiful. I love it. Hey, this is what you do. This is what we do in Honduras. No! Kyle! Hey, Kyle, go take it outside. Hurry. Hurry, Kyle. You know the horrible thing about that? He thinks it's water, but with Satan, you got to put something back. It's actually urine. Okay, poor Kyle. I'm kidding. What do you learn from that? Guys, that was 30 seconds of Satan. What do you think is going to happen in our life if I said, let's allow him in for 10 minutes? You tell me what was harder. Keeping Jesus? Oh man, everybody's smiling. Or when Satan comes in? What happens then? What if I said you try and keep him going for 5 years? You try and keep Satan in your marriage for 20 years and do nothing about it. What happens then? You following me? I know how scary it is to take the plunge and let go of the hurt, the heartache, the hopelessness that Satan has been weighing you and your family down with, that you've been hanging on to instead of allowing Jesus to reign and soar above all others. Matter of fact, it probably feels like this final video to you. Y'all know Stephen and Donna Porterfield? Yeah, raise your hand if you do. Awesome people, awesome family. Well, their son, Connor, he went skydiving. That's what you're about to see. Okay, but I want you to look at this video, not of some, man, I think I would love to go skydiving. Look at it in this sense. The guide represents Jesus. Watch what he does with Connor. Watch Connor's face, all right? And I'm just going to go ahead and warn you, the music in this thing is high energy. Do not let it distract you from understanding the big picture and what we're trying to get at when it comes to Jesus being the bride of Christ and taking hold of you and letting our guide guide you all the way through whatever you're dealing with.
Here we go.
You crank that up a little bit. We're going to go without sound. Let's do what Connor's doing. Right? Watch his face. Watch what happens here. All right. Have y'all ever been skydiving? Yeah. This is Connor. The time of his life. There is nothing like skydiving when the guide is actually on your back and you are buckled together. Connor isn't going anywhere, and he's having the time of his life. Look, he's soaring. He is flying. Now, how many bugs do you think he got in his teeth? And this is the thing. He could care less. Why? Because the guide has him wrapped up the entire time. Right? That'd be there, thousands of feet up in the air. Oh, I'm breathing again, right? Oh, this is the time of my life. The guide's asking him, where do you want to land, Connor? Hey, can we go down there? Oh, yeah. Here we go. Flying through the clouds. Let's see what happens on the landing. Hey, when you got a good guide, I guarantee you he's going to allow the landing to be all right. Here he goes. Here he goes. Here he goes. Okay. Might have flipped the camera around a little bit, but let's see if Connor is still smiling. Oh, yeah. You can't wipe that silly grin off that boy's face. Why? Because the guide was holding him the whole time. Jesus promises you that he will be with you through every moment. Enjoy the benefits of being married to him. Do not let Satan manipulate, deceive you, and try and torment you into thinking otherwise. Into thinking that y'all need to date other people or other stuff. Let Jesus take hold of you above all others. Amen. If we can help you in any way possible. Opportunity is for you now. If we can help you, come now while together we stand and sing.